Let's read together the Word of God in Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The sermon text tonight is verse 19 of Hebrews 6, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I think you know, my dear fellow believers, I think you know that the Bible very, very often presents our Christian life as a journey from this life to the life to come, from this world to the next, from here to heaven. Here, the Word of God does that too, at least by implication. It thinks of our lives not as a pilgrimage, that's very common in the Word of God, but as a voyage. In that respect, the Word of God here is similar to the Word of God that we heard this morning. Only there, we saw that the history of the church is a voyage. Here, it's our own lives which are pictured as a voyage across the seas of life to our destination and harbor in heaven. And just as no ship, even today, ever sails without an anchor, so the Word of God speaks here of our need for an anchor as we voyage through life to heaven. And the Word of God assures us that we have such an anchor, a spiritual anchor, called hope. An anchor which will never fail us, an anchor which will never break, an anchor, the Word of God says here, that is both sure and steadfast. And it's about that anchor that I want to speak to you this evening. An anchor for the soul. We need that, don't we? An anchor for our souls. We're going to do three things. We're going to take a good look at that anchor. See what it's really like and why that anchor is called hope here. And then we're going to look at our need for that anchor, the need of our souls for that anchor. And finally, we're going to address the question, why we who have that anchor nevertheless feel at times as though we are blown hither and thither by the storms of life without an anchor. Those three things. In some ways, the anchor of which the Word of God speaks here is like any other anchor. And by the way, this anchor is real. Just because it's a spiritual anchor does not mean it's not real. In fact, in some ways, this anchor is more real than any other, because when every other anchor has failed, this anchor will still be sure and steadfast. But it's like other anchors because it holds our souls from going to destruction in the storms of life, keeps them safe, secure, until that day of days when we finally go home. But it's an unusual anchor in other ways. And one of them, of course, is the fact that this anchor is sure and steadfast, never failing, never breaking, always there to anchor our souls to heaven. And that is another unusual thing about this anchor. Instead of reaching down to the bottom of the sea, this anchor reaches up to heaven. Very unusual anchor. All the way to heaven. And in that connection, because it anchors our souls to heaven, that anchor is already at our destination. It's quite something, isn't it? If you think in terms of grandparents, great-grandparents, who emigrated to this country, probably by ship, then the picture that's drawn here would be something like a ship setting sail from Rotterdam or Amsterdam with its anchor already in New York City. Anchored to its destination. And that's another reason why I say that this anchor is most unusual. And not only that, but the most unusual thing of all about this anchor, no other anchor like that, is that it's this anchor which draws us to our destination. We don't reach our destination because we've set a straight course to heaven, although we ought to do that. Our life ought not be in any other direction but heaven. But it's not because we set a straight course that we reach our destination. It's not because we set our sails to the wind that we reach our destination. Although we had better do that. We had better sail by the great wind of God, whose name is the Holy Spirit. Don't reach our destination because we row hard, although that too we ought to do. Whatever our place and calling is, we had better be busy at what God has given us to do. But when we come to our destination, we will have to confess that it was that anchor that drew us there. Nothing else would have gotten us to our destination. Never heard of an anchor like that, have you? But that's the anchor that we have from God for our souls. That anchor is called here in the Word of God, hope. Hope is an anchor for the soul. But the Word of God is not talking about the Christian virtue that we call hope. that too is a wonderful thing. Hoping is not wishing, not in the Bible, not wishing for something piously, wishing, but hope, that activity of hope, that Christian virtue of hope, is the absolute and unshakable assurance that what God has said is true, and what God does is forever. When I say, for example, that I hope that Jesus comes soon, then I'm saying, I've learned from the Word of God that He will come quickly, and with all my heart I am sure that He will come. That even if worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And I'm sure of that, because I know that my Redeemer lives. That's hope. It's not like saying, I hope it's going to be a nice day tomorrow. Then all I mean is, I'm going to have a picnic tomorrow with my family, and I wish it was good weather. Hope is assurance, that activity and virtue of hope. But I say again, that's not what the Word of God is talking about here when it speaks of hope. It's talking about the object of our hope. What we hope for. It's not that activity, but some thing. And if you look at the context here, you'll see that. Verse 18 speaks of hope as something you can put your hand on. We fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And it's verse 20, in connection with our text, that makes it clear that that hope is really not something, but someone. Christ is our hope. The object of our hope, you can say it that way. But you're saying the same thing when you say, He is my hope, because that activity of hope is in Him. That's clear from our text in verse 20. Our text says that hope enters into that within the veil. And then in verse 20 makes specific reference to the ascension and exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. He is our hope. He is the anchor of our souls. That's what the Word of God is saying here. And it's by His entrance into heaven that that anchor is at our final destination. Maybe you can think of it this way. Forged in the fires of the cross, that anchor went to heaven when He rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sat down in the presence of God. Not a wonderful passage of the Word of God then? It's not my hoping, although that's important, that anchors my soul, but Christ Himself, the crucified one, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He anchors my soul to heaven and to Himself. And He does that by the work of His Spirit. That anchor is riveted to my soul by regeneration, by the gift of faith, by my justification and sanctification, and all that the Spirit does as the Spirit of Christ and the one who brings me salvation. So now, you and I have had a good look at that anchor and understand, too, why it's sure and steadfast. No more than His blood and righteousness can fail. No more than the work of His Spirit can be in vain. No more that the eternal counsels of God can come to nothing. Can this anchor be anything but sure and steadfast? That's the first thing tonight. But I said that we would speak also of our need for that anchor. And the need is along the lines of what we talked about this morning. That voyage, 60, 70, 80 years through the seas of life, is, as most of us know from experience, a very difficult and stormy voyage. It is, isn't it? One storm settles in our lives and another blows up. Sometimes those storms, and it's our souls, we'll talk about that in a moment, it's our souls especially that are affected by those storms, but some of those storms come as a result of our sins. I think most of us know the storms that the knowledge of our sins and sinfulness can raise against our souls. Sometimes that comes as a result of our remembering old sins. Sins of youth, remember not. David says in Psalm 119, and it must have been the case when he wrote those words, that the knowledge of old sins was in his soul like a raging storm. Sometimes those storms are the result of the trials we go through, the troubles and trials. They really are like a spiritual storm through which we must somehow sail safely They are, aren't they? Other storms come as a result of troubles in the church, the kind of thing that we talked about this morning. And we feel, to use words that match the Word of God here, we feel like we're being blown this way and that way, that we've lost our course, that we've drifted. I'm not talking about the churches, but about each of us personally, that we've drifted from our course. And that happens. You have a description of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, who knew what he was talking about, perhaps more than we will ever know. Speaks of being troubled on every side. He doesn't just mean that the troubles are out there, but they're here too. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's that anchor. Perplexed, we can be adrift, but not in despair. The anchor is sure and steadfast. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And then perhaps the words that touch every one of our hearts most deeply, cast down, but not destroyed. That's our need for this anchor. When I'm discouraged because of whatever it is that's going on in my life, afraid, weary, bitter, sinfully angry at others and even at God Himself because of what's happened or is happening to me, then, following our text, I'm adrift. I've lost my course. I am cast down, troubled, perplexed. But the anchor holds nevertheless. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We sang, I think we did, from Psalm 42, where the author of the psalm, we don't know who it was, speaks of similar experiences. Oh my God, he says, my soul is cast down within me. And he speaks even to his own soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And then you remember what he says? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. But he experienced what we all experience, disquiet, he calls it. And it's that need that deep spiritual need that God addresses in giving us our hope. Christ Himself in heaven, having brought His blood into the holy place, making intercession for us there, who is the anchor of our souls. And the Word of God speaks of our souls because that's what these troubles and trials and difficulties touch. Our soul, it's hard to describe exactly what the Bible means by soul, but it's very clear from Scripture that our soul is that part of us that's most closely connected with our feelings and our emotions. Even our Savior, in His trials and troubles, spoke of the grief of His soul. And so the Word of God tells us here that this anchor, if you will, is riveted to our souls to keep us in all that disquiets and troubles us from going to ruin, spiritual ruin. And I think you know then why this passage is in the Word of God. Because if I'm certain of one thing, that I'm certain of this, that there isn't a soul in this building who doesn't understand why the Word of God here speaks of an anchor for the soul. But that brings us to that question. Why is it, if I have this anchor, that it seems to me in trials and troubles that I am totally adrift, have completely lost my way, whatever those troubles are, whatever storms of life affect our souls? Why does it seem like I'm blown every which way? Why does it seem to me that I don't have an anchor? Is it because, and you know the answer to that, is it because that anchor has failed after all? I may even think that. That's blasphemy against the Son of God Himself, who is my anchor. How can He, Son of God, come in my flesh, crucified and risen again, ever fail me? Is it because, as someone suggested, that while He's in heaven, my anchor, the problem is on the other end, that I am not holding on as I should, that He keeps that in safe in the presence of God, but it's my business to hold on and make sure I do hold on to the other end. If that's true, we really don't have an anchor. That idea is just, well, it's just stupid. As a ship with an anchor, casting out its anchor and then asking one of the sailors to hold on to it to make sure the ship remains where it is. No man is capable of that. Whether he be sailor on the seas or any one of us on the seas of life. The steadfastness of that anchor cannot possibly depend on us. And as I said earlier, it doesn't, because at the other end of that anchor, it is riveted to our souls by the sovereign and gracious work of the Holy Spirit. Christ, if you will, is riveted to our souls by the saving work of God's Almighty Spirit. And nothing ever in heaven itself or in hell can break those bonds. Nothing can separate me, Paul says in Romans 8, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. So that's not the answer either. The answer here, my dear fellow believers, the answer is here in the Word of God. In the previous verse to our text, which talks about laying hold upon the hope set before us. It's not talking about some responsibility that we have to hang on to that anchor for dear life, because if we let go, then it's gone. But it's talking about something that I can best describe again by having you think of a ship with its anchor out. A ship in the middle of the fiercest of storms. And you or I, with the greatest possible difficulty, standing on the deck of that ship in terror that that ship is going to lose its anchor and go down. And then we make our way again with great difficulty to the front of that ship and put a hand on that chain and feel how heavy that chain is. And feel in the chain itself that the anchor is holding and isn't going to let go. That's why, if you will, in those times when I'm discouraged and afraid and bitter and angry and disquieted and all the rest, I haven't done what verse 18 says, fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before me. I do that when I open the Scriptures once again and with prayer read the gospel message once again with all that it says of the person and work of my Savior Jesus Christ, my anchor. Then it's as though I'm putting my hand on that chain and feeling the strength of that anchor. And resting, whatever my troubles may be, in the confidence that that anchor, however grieved and troubled I may be, that anchor cannot fail. Nor the storms of life swallow me up. And that, beloved, is what you must do. By the grace of God, with prayer, you have, especially in these troubled times, to flee for refuge, to lay hold on the hope that's set before you. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whatever storms, through whatever storms your voyage takes you, don't forget the Word of God here in Hebrews 6. And I'm sure that having heard it this evening, you will not soon or quickly forget it. Amen. Eternal and almighty God, Thou who hast given to us Thine only begotten and beloved Son as the salvation and safety of our souls, thank Thee once again for Him and ask, Father, that He may receive all the honor and glory of what has been said here this evening. And through Him, Thy great name. And forgive us what we have said in weakness and sin. We fall so far short in speaking Thy word and in hearing it. We fall so far short of its precious truths. But we trust that by the Spirit, our souls have been fed and satisfied, and that we will return each one of us to our own homes, blessed indeed, and blessed in Christ our Lord. Be with us the remaining hours of the day. May we not forget that even those last hours belong to Him and not to us. And may we use them well. And may He come quickly and bring us to our final destination, where we will have no need anymore of those storms of life, but we'll see Him face to face and be with Him forever. In His name we pray, and for His sake, amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.